and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 234, and it's a sunny day outside. I'll come clean right now. I always draw a little line up for what we're going to do over the course of the podcast, and I make my list, and then I do a bit of research, so I know what I'm talking about, and I'm all informed. This time, I drummed up the list, and then I ran outside, and I sat in the garden with my eyes closed for 25 minutes. Because I'm in this little room all day and there's sun outside. And I'm sorry, I just need the vitamins.
You've got a red nose now?
No, 25 minutes. I have to be sitting like just in front of the sun.
Mm.
Like, you know, in that film Sunshine, where they go really close to the sunshine. I'd have to be there for that to have any real...
I didn't care for that movie.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, it was kind of interesting. It was better than... Did you see Trace? That was kind of awful.
Trance, you mean?
Trance, even, sorry, yeah.
I quite like Trance.
Is that the same thing?
It was silly, but it was fun. It was kind of Danny Boyle.
Danny Boyle's second one. It was really silly. It was so ridiculously silly. It was unbelievable. It's less believable than people go fly off in a spaceship to drop a nuclear bomb into the sun.
I'd be inclined to agree that it's not very... yeah.
The thing is, I tend not to watch Danny Boyle movies. Most of my sort of cinematic back catalogue is Danny Dyer movies.
Oi, you better be joking.
Some of our audience will know what Danny Boyle movies are because they will have seen some of the more famous ones, but I don't think some of our American friends will know what Danny Dyer is.
And I envy all those people because Danny Dyer is just a hateful human being.
I don't think I've ever seen a Danny Dyer film, actually.
Oh, really? In all honesty, they are art.
Oh,
They are incredible. Basically,
replace the T with an S.
that's
right.
That's right. There's just something ever so charming about his
about his casual violence towards women.
that sort of thing, and just general sort of racism and misogyny. But the fact that it sort of is allowed to be made, I quite enjoy it.
It's thoroughly
worth watching. I do think it's an ironic watch.
Oh God, I get real sick of irony now because everybody does everything ironically. We're so postmodern at this point that we are like walking backwards and like or sideways or crabbing across the ceiling, going, "Don't worry, it's you know I know it's 7 degrees removed from rubbish because I'm watching it through these blinkered irony goggles." And so everybody does everything and says it's cool, but it's not cool, and that makes it cool. Yeah, cool.
And all right, Grant, let's go back in the garden.
Yeah, so he needs some more vitamin D, doesn't he?
I'm going back to the sun right now. We've got John Jordan with us today. Say hello, John.
Hello, John.
A nice one. And there's Mr. Peter Willington as well.
Hi.
Hi, guys. I thought we'd better do the introductions. Second episode of the new podcast format. There's going to be all manner of stuff coming up now. It's the App Store's 5th birthday. So we've been celebrating that. And we're going to tell you some things about apps and that. Some stuff about 3DS, Scribblenauts Unmasked. Scribblenauts is going DC superheroes on you. My God. And you can all join in a great big Pokemon adventure tour, lol. So, yeah. Mm. But first, it's the updates. First on this week's update, Talisman Prologue HD has got some new characters in it. If you don't know what it is, it's that board game that was released, the Games Workshop 1, a converted tabletop affair, in which you go round and round and round around the circle of the board to try and get into the middle, fighting random baddies as you go. They released it earlier on. It was quite good. We gave it a good review. But now you can play a few more characters. Characters like the Sprite, the Sage, the Vampire Hunter, and the Leprechaun. It's not the multiplayer option, though, which is a bit of a shame, because it was released without multiplayer in it, and they were saying, don't worry, it's coming, and it sort of hasn't come yet. It's been a couple of months, and we'd sort of like to see that appear. But maybe next time, so, you know, ears to the ground. The other big thing that's happened this week is, because it's been the App Store's 5th birthday anniversary celebrations, loads and loads and loads of games have been either reduced in price or just gone completely free. So in terms of new games that have gone a bit cheaper, you can get Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, which usually retails at £6.99 or $10, That has been slashed in half, slashed with a lightsaber like that in half. And I'm like a Ben, I'm like Ben Burtt himself. And so now, £2.99 or $4.99 for your Knights of the Old Republic.
Probably not a good week to launch a new game then, is it? If all these other ones are going cheap.
Yeah, if all these...
I wonder if people thought about that.
Well,
it's new releases.
Square Enix didn't, did they?
No, clearly not. They went for it all guns blazing. Or sneaking, depending on how you play it. More on that later. So I would say get this if you have the inclination, because I really like it. I've liked the game anyway, but I really like it on iPad. It properly works. The other ones, though, let's have a quick run through. We've got a list on the site. You can go and find it. Just look at our sales area. Just type in sales and you'll find it. Super Brothers, Sword and Sorcery EP. That's free. Where's My Water? Hugely popular physics puzzler there. That's free. Infinity Blade 2, everyone knows what that is. That's free. Tiny Wings, one of the biggest games on the App Store in the earlier days anyway, 2011. That's gone free. Badland is free. We've talked about that before. Chopper, Peggle, you've all played Peggle. Dead Space, Mirror's Edge, the list goes on and on. Now, hopefully they'll still be free when you hear this if you're on Friday, and probably over the weekend. Might not run into next week, though. So if you like the sound of any of those, go get them. Nab them free. This fifth anniversary only comes once, so you jump on that bandwagon.
Those are some stonking games.
They are, really, and that sort of leads neatly in to our news. As we were saying, it's been the fifth birthday of the App Store. Has it been 5 years already? It doesn't look a day over 4¾.
Although, being my typical contrary self, I was talking to someone the other day and I said App Store fifth birthday. They were like, no. The App Store is exactly the same as iTunes, 10 years.
Oh, really? Is that what they're going for?
We were suggesting that the App Store probably... it doesn't live in human years, it lives in some sort of accelerated dog years, so actually it's about 84 years old and probably needs some renovations, but that's maybe another story entirely.
I thought they could do it by like updates or iterations or something, because it's in that case it's only... How many updates has that thing had? Because it's probably had way more than we think, because the updates have all been kind of in the background and it stayed looking pretty much the same for quite a while. Only recently did they do a sort of proper visual overhaul.
One of the issues with the App Store seems to be that you can change the UI of it fairly easily, but the way the actual back end system works is fairly clunky now. Which is why now we can talk about other things, which is why something like the Google Store works much better. I mean,
See, we've opened up to talk about these heinous other stores.
Well, no, it's just so for me, if I'm going to download something, I don't want to do it on device. I just want to go, whack it in the browser, go to Google Play, and just download it. It just goes to the store and it just does it, and then when I switch on, it's all there. I mean, it's just like,
it's so nice.
That is the best. So when you have a choice of Android and iOS now, it's just, obviously I have both devices. It's just like, it makes it easy.
Yeah, when I first found out you could do that, it's just like typey on the browser, and then your phone goes bling and it starts downloading. You're like, that's what I'm talking about.
It doesn't actually start to feel like magic at that point.
Yeah.
And the other cool thing about it is, like, if you've got multiple Android devices, it will tell you which ones it will be compatible with. Like, just a really simple thing like that. Like, the number of apps, like, when I had a 3G, the number of apps I'd download, and it would just be like, oh, no, you're out of luck. Like, would be astronomical. And this one, it's like, yeah, this will work. So, it's so good. So good.
So, we started the App Store celebration of 5 years by railing against it and saying how much better.
Stupid App Store.
I didn't do it straight away. I let you do a bit of preamble.
Yeah, there was a brief breath first. Well, it has been the fifth anniversary, and we've been celebrating it all week on the site. We did a full top 50, running the way, like three separate articles all the way up to the number ones, of Pocket Gamer's top 50 games of the past 5 years. Pretty much all of them. And it's really impressive when you see the list, because in some instances you might be scraping the barrel a bit to get some halfway decent games to plug up the lower end or something. You'd have your top 10 okay, but then there might not be enough titles to like fill up a whole 50. It's 50 games and they're all pretty great. You go through the list and it's like top quality stuff.
There have been however many hundreds of thousands, half a million games have been released.
Well, exactly.
So it's not quite like the console games where over a period of a console lifetime you might release 6,000 or something, probably not more than 10,000 games. I mean, this is, if you couldn't find 50, you'd be a pretty poor show, I think.
Well, the fact is that there are 50 properly high-class games that you can get. Now, obviously, we've got our list, which says what we think is the best. Apple, in their own little celebratory fashion, Did a few charts charting what were the most popular ones, the best-selling ones, that sort of thing. So guess what's going to be at number one?
Of what?
The best-selling.
The best-selling, what? So best-selling paid apps, basically.
Yeah. So we'll start with the iPhone. Best-selling paid app in the iPhone.
Ooh.
Angry Birds.
Yeah, it's got to be in that.
Of course it will. Easy.
Of course it's Angry Birds,
probably, how many Angry Birds were in the top 10? They probably had to, we only include one Angry Bird.
No, there's actually three. It's your Angry Birds at number one. Angry Birds Seasons is at number five. Mm. And then away at the bottom there is Angry Birds Space. So Star Wars hasn't, been out long enough, I don't think, to get a look in, maybe. But we think Star Wars is actually one of the best ones.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Yep.
Gameplay-wise. But God, Angry
I think,
Birds...
I think Rovio would say it's probably the best one. Because it's the latest one to come out, isn't it? Of that list, so...
It's got more stuff going on it. So number two, you've got Fruit Ninja. Again, not really a big surprise. Doodle Jump, which I think I've only played once, is at number three.
Wow.
Yeah, but
I met up with Mr. Doodle Jump.
Mr. Doodle Jump. Do you have to chase him up several platforms to get to him and stuff?
he's quite hard to get hold of, actually. But no, that's good. I'm surprised it's that high. But...
Again, I think it must be a time thing, though, because that's been out for quite a while and
that
was
yeah, I mean, that was really. I suppose the original Angry Birds came out. Would have been the first to come out, and that's kind of sat there for the entire duration, really. But Doodle Jump came out, I think, in the summer of 2009 and didn't do anything for a few months, and then it kind of he started doing a lot of these themed updates, and then that kind of really kicks it in.
Oh right, like a Temple Run, because Temple Run came out and was paid.
Well, no, because Doodle Jump's always been paid. But basically, I don't know if you remember a game called Pocket God, where you had these little pieces and you basically killed them. It wasn't really, it was a kind of a game interactive thing where basically you killed them in various ways and funny things happened. And that game got success because every month it did a big update, so you could kill them in different ways. It was suddenly sharks with laser eyes and whatever. So anyway, the two developers knew each other, and Doodle Jump guys saw how Pocket God was updating all the time and how that drove sales. So that's how we got there.
Gotcha. I see. So that's a number three. And number four, which is frankly my favorite, is Cut the Rope.
That's good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you see, that's kind of my favourite over all of these. I think I'm probably one of the few around who think that's... Like, a lot of people tend to go on the side of where's my water. I know, at least in the staff, they reckon that's superior and things like that. I've always just thought it's by far sort of the nicest concept, the classiest production, the value in terms of the amount of levels you get, and it stands up to long play and short pick up and play, and I think it's just like one of the perfect kind of iOS game.
Mm. I suppose at that level, they're all pretty good quality anyway, so it becomes quite a personal...
Yeah, yeah.
How you choose between one or the other. I mean, it's not like a vast difference between them, is it, really?
No. So those are the games that have done stormingly well on iPhone. iPad-wise, it's different. They've got apps and games all mixed together. So at the top is Pages, but then it's Angry Birds HD, and then Angry Birds Seasons, directly one after one another. Hmm. And then you get Where's My Water, which doesn't appear in the iPhone top 10. People preferred it as an iPad app, which makes sense. You know, that water directing gameplay is better on a bigger screen, I think. It's a little fiddly on the small one, no?
Yeah, agreed. I was thinking about this the other day, actually. They are classics. They are, in another 5 years' time, we'll be talking about Om Nom in the same, not exactly the same, but approaching the same sort of level as a Mario.
In terms of sales alone, I imagine they have already outshone a lot of, what you would call console classics and things like that, just by sheer numbers.
Well, how many, for example, how many kids that have got iPhones now, and I'm talking 14 to 16, 17 year olds or whatever, how many kids have played Star Fox, which we all probably have, or Star Fox or Smash Brothers or something like that, and how many of them have played Angry Birds? I'd argue probably more than that.
This is why it's crazy for Nintendo not to get into mobile games, because it's an order of magnitude of people have probably played Angry Birds more than Mario. I know, even though Mario's over a much longer period of time. I mean, it's a different generation, I think, for those. I think to a degree it's kind of hard for us who've had this. Effectively, we've been around for pretty much the whole kind of career of computer games. Certainly, probably I'm a bit older, so certainly I have. Yeah, it's kind of hard to judge exactly what your classic is, because the classics were probably the ones when in the late 80s, early 90s kind of thing. But for people growing up now, it is completely those games. It's completely Angry Birds. It's completely cut. Yeah.
Well, we did our own list. Pocket Gamers say the top 50. I will just read out the top 10 of what we deem to be the best, the classics of the last 5 years. Interestingly, I think none of them appear in that list that I just read out from Apple. So we appear to vibrate on a different wavelength. This is about what we think is good, not what sold the most. So in at number 10, very pleased to see this, Super Hexagon.
Yeah.
Which is one of my top five. I just think that's brilliant. And I played it again to capture footage of it for AppSpy. And I'm just like, oh, this is so good, so good. And completing the levels, because now I've got to the point now where I can actually complete them, is so satisfying. After that, I lost hours to that game, hours and hours. And they're such short bursts. You know, 60 seconds is all you need to stay alive at the beginning to complete the first level. And that took hours and hours for me to complete that 60 seconds. Totally worth it.
It sounds like you're still trying to convince yourself of
of those totally lost hours. It was totally worth it, James. He could have been out there like doing painting and walking in the
sitting in the pools. Sun with your eyes shut.
Yeah, exactly. No, Super Hexagon was totally worth it. Number 9, Monkey Island 2.
Yeah.
I see the hand of Rob Hearn in this list.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of these games that are being listed as, you know, our favourite iOS games are either based on old franchise or perhaps ports of things from other consoles, which, I don't know, that seems a little bit off-key. I mean, this, to be fair, Monkey Island 2 Special Edition, this has been reworked, hasn't it, quite heavily. Certainly the visuals have.
Yep.
Yeah, so I guess it still counts. But yeah, it doesn't stop the fact that it's a great game and everything. A game that was born on iOS, Waking Mars.
I like that a lot, actually. Yeah.
Still to play that.
This is very interesting, though, as you say, the difference between kind of the commercial success and then what critics think. Because Waking Mars was, I wouldn't say a financial disaster, but I think pretty much it was a financial disaster for the guys who made it.
It's a difficult concept to sell, isn't it? I mean, like, the idea, we're not blasting things, we're basically jetpacking around the surface and subterranean areas of Mars looking for plants and like crossbreeding them and stuff. That's your pitch.
Hardcore gaming.
And I want people like, oh, what? I could be shooting zombies. But they should play it because it's really nicely done. Apart from some weird translations, some of the dialogue's a bit weird. The actual gameplay is great because it's this wonderful, like, creative discovery thing where you're mixing up different plants together and different seeds and cross-pollinating to open up areas. And it's like you get this genuine sense of exploration and discovery. And it is beautifully done. Really nice atmosphere. So it's well good. Speaking of atmosphere, The Room! Which was the one I spent like 3-4 months waiting to play because it wasn't on Android and I didn't have an iPad at that point. Or one that could play it, more to the point, which is the puzzle-y game where you find a box and you have to open the box by doing various different things. It won a BAFTA.
What's it called?
The Room.
Oh, The Room. Sorry, Marzo. Yeah. I thought you said Froome. I was like, what's this? That's a place in near Bristol.
Near Bristol.
What are you getting on about? No, The Room, yeah. That's an interesting success story, that is.
Yeah, that was a cracker. Again, like, you might not necessarily think that would take off in a huge way because it's a sort of quirky atmospheric horror title and it's you're
really
basically
horror, is it?
Well, it's not, it's not horror, but it has a creepy kind of vibe.
Oh, yeah. I think it kind of came out around the right time. Was it Christmas it came out? No, it wasn't before then, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Did you play it, Peter?
No, again, like, this is the other one on the list that I'm really, really
need to get around
annoyed.
To.
Yeah, I really need to get around to this.
I did kind of think, while liking it, I did feel like, logically, it was a little bit bumpy about exactly what I was supposed to be doing to unlock these things. It became like a point and click where then you just start pressing anything that moves. Just trying. But maybe I'm thick.
For whatever reason, it sort of made sense to me. I got it. My only complaint was that it didn't go on long enough. That was my issue. And yeah, I didn't think it was. I mean, I
completed it
quite quickly. That's why I'm looking forward to the next one. It's not really a complaint when you say you want more. That's kind of a good sign. Mm. But it is a beautiful looking thing and it's clever little puzzles. And again, you get that nice feeling of, when something works and something suddenly opens, it triggers a mechanism and things start unlocking. You're like, ooh. So yeah, that's well worth it. Here's one I haven't played, to my shame. Joe Danger.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Which was a really sort of good version of the PSN release, was it originally?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was PSN one. But they developed it specifically for iOS. They didn't just port it straight over, so they changed bits and pieces. And apart from some nonsense with the Gold Rider and in-app purchases at the beginning, that was a bit off-putting. That to one side, which I think got sorted out, is just a really, really, really good version of the game from what we hear, from everything we've said. Loads of the staff love it. We gave it a 9 out of 10, I think, and it was a bit of a cracker. Here's more. Oh, no, this is Anthony. I thought this might be Rob again. Broken Sword.
Yes, director. That deserves it. That deserves that space.
Equally, Rob, I mean, it's not an either-or thing with the point-and-click guys, is it? If you're a point-and-click guy, you like them all. Yes.
No.
Well, in the case of Rob Hearn, he likes both those games quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I mean, there's, for example, like, I am a really big adventure game fan, but I cannot stand Gabriel Knight. Because it's just esoteric.
Well, this one I had slight issues with because it's been redone. The director's cut, they change the intro. They give you that little bit at the beginning with the girl.
Not very much of a change, though, really, is it?
Well, they stick a whole full bit in at the beginning where you're playing for like 2 hours as
they intercut the rest of the game with the bits with Nicole as well.
Yeah. And you know, visuals have been redone and they changed some of the scripting as well. So that's a little bit odd. But that doesn't detract from the fact that it is still a great game and one of the best examples of the point-and-click genre. So, you know, you can't really complain when you have it on the iPad. That's cool. Now, this is awesome because I saw this before it was released and was like, this is going to be big, and it is awesome. Rayman Jungle Run, which is one of the best auto-runner-type games that I've ever played because they made it work. And it doesn't feel quite like all the other endless runner-type games because there's slightly more to it, even though you're still just jumping, tapping to jump. Whenever you hit a wall or something, he reverses direction, so you have to use the environment in order to keep going the way you want to go, which is a little bit, you know, a little bit more involved. And it's so beautifully presented. It uses all the assets from the console version. And as a result, it's just utterly gorgeous. And it doesn't, even though it's an endless runner format where you constantly run, they're sort of shorter bite-sized levels that are actually, you know, constructed rather than being random. And the ones at the end, so you have like batches of 10, and the 10th level is this insanely difficult run where you're all trying to beat each other's speeds. Utterly gorgeous game. Mark put that one down, and fair play to him. Now, again, with games that are on multiple platforms, number 3, The Walking Dead. Which is certainly deserving, because if you say, is it one of the best games available on iOS? I'd probably say yes. I didn't play it on iOS, mind. I played it on my Xbox. So, you know. But in terms of what can you get for the iOS, that is awesome. It is awesome. You should play it, Peter, even though I know you don't want to.
I don't like zombies.
I may hold you down and make you play it.
Zombies.
And it'll make a man of you.
Hold you down and make you play the game?
I will come around and hold you down and make you play.
It's a game where the characters in the game make you play the game. I was like, well, that's...
It's getting severely meta. There are a couple of games like that where you're playing a game inside a game and it all disappears up its own ass quite quickly. But no, I think you should, because I think it will be a character-building experience for you, Peter.
Make that noise again. That was a really interesting noise.
No, I don't want to make him cry on the podcast. How about this instead, Peter? You can play this. It's all bright and colourful. Number 2, Peggle.
Yeah, the best game.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is the best game.
This is the best game of all the games.
Probably, I would argue, one of the best games of all time. Peggle is legit. Peggle is such a legit game, right? Like, so what... It is PopCap personified in that it is always rewarding you, always happy, always upbeat. Even when you lose a ball, even when something negative happens to your game, you still get a little word come up and it goes great, brilliant. Like it's
the game that pats you on the head and tells you everything's going to be okay.
Absolutely, and not only that, but there's an even more subtle sort of reinforcement of whenever you've done really well, you think to yourself, oh, I did that. That was amazing. And then whenever you do really badly, you think, well, it's a game of luck, isn't it? it's perfect. It's like the perfect game.
With Andy Murray winning the tennis there, because if he wins, then he's British, and if he loses, then he's Scottish.
Yeah, exactly. Peggle is the Wimbledon champion of video games.
Other than the fact, I mean, a bit like The Walking Dead. Other than the fact, it was on mobile. It's nothing to do with mobile at all, is it? Really?
I was going to say that. it originated. Where was the original platform for that?
Flash.
It
was a Flash game, was it? Yeah. So yeah, a pretender. But I mean,
Pinchinko. But what's it called? Pinchinko.
That's what the original like Japanese creation, where it's a real game.
It's a ripping off. Yeah.
I bought a pachinko video game from eBay yesterday.
Really?
It's for the Super Famicom, and I bought it sheerly.
Purely?
Sheerly. Purely.
I'm clip this
words.
Sheep sheerly.
Sheerly. For the front cover of the box art, which is just a picture of a smiling old man.
I hope it wasn't expensive. Pachinko.
Could have just Instagrammed the cover of the box and walked away. Nightmare. Well, it's all right. Play Peggle. That'll cheer you up. It'll tell you you're brilliant. It'll say, that was a great idea, Pete. Yeah, well, flash up on the screen.
That was a great waste of money.
Yeah, nicely done there. Oh. So, that brings us to number one. What is, in Pocket Gamer's opinion, the bestest game of the last 5 years? Some might say this answer is ridiculous. Yeah, I know. Bony Cosset's Ridiculous Fishing.
Really?
Yes, that's number one.
That's made by my friend Rami, who I met.
yes, your mate Vlambeer, Mr. Vlambeer.
So this is the best example of the forward-looking aspect of being a journalist. I mean, it's just literally a game that came out about 6 months ago.
Yeah,
it's the best game that ever. I mean, it's just like, oh, come on, guys. It's funny when I did my top five ones, because I guess partly because I've been around a bit longer than you guys for the App Store, it's really hard not to choose ones that came out when the App Store came out. So if I had Angry Birds and Zenbound. And then I didn't put Doodle Jump because I kind of thought I can't have those many old ones. And I had Rolando, and I had really hard because I remember when people thought iPhone wasn't a proper gaming platform like most mobile games. And then suddenly you had all these good games. And now you guys are all just like, oh yeah, Ridiculous Fishing. That's where it's at.
Hey, don't look at me. I work for AppSpy mostly now. So yeah, my top five is a bit more like. I mean, to be fair, I had to do in the top five. It was AppSpy's top five, so I couldn't just do me. In which case, Super Hexagon would have been even higher. But like I had to look back at all the reviews the site's given over the time, and I wasn't involved then, so it had to be a bit more reflective. But still, it wound up with things like Plants vs Zombies got in there because it is a fantastic example of tower defense, and it's been around for ages, and it's sort of got the reputation it has for a reason. It is a really
the one
good
thing I will say about so as I said, the difference between the two lists is kind of the journalists have chosen games that are great and happen to be on mobile, whereas the list of the ones that have been downloaded the most are ones all those games were purely developed for mobile. I mean, Angry Birds on mobile, Doodle Jump on mobile, Cut the Rope on mobile. So there is, I think to a degree we're kind of showing that, that kind of where our kind of cross-platformness beyond mobile gaming as journalists. So.
Well, the reaction I got, I mean, it got quite a very positive reaction online, the list that I did. But a lot of what people say is, like, these are all like really casual games, and where are all the like hardcore RTSs, and where's Xenonia 2, and all that.
Someone said that. Someone actually said that.
Yeah.
Xenonia.
And there was a surprising amount of likes for that.
Was it a representative from Gameville?
I found that very surprising. But like, I don't think those are the strengths of the iOS platform. I don't think that like hardcore RPGs and everything. Whilst it's great, it's impressive that they're on there and they're great. Kind of great games in their own right.
It's impressive to get those things on there.
But. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think they are the best examples of what makes iOS gaming work so well. I mean, the reason there weren't any first-person shooters in my top five was because I don't think that works that well. And the games that do work, things like Cut the Rope, I know it's considered simple and it's considered casual, but I just think it sort of ticks all the boxes of what makes an iOS game great. You can play it for long stints, but you can play it for short times. It's very simple concepts, but it's very well produced. The like reward loop is really solid, and like these are the things to me that make the iOS platform so popular, and it's the reason why you've got Angry Birds or whatever selling millions upon millions upon millions.
And also, like, I think people confuse the words hardcore with just take a long time to play.
If you look at the amount of hours people have put into Angry Birds, I mean, that's the
yeah,
I mean,
but what
just,
a lot.
That's much more hours than that. Is that, I mean, that's kind of like on a World of Warcraft level of spending 20 hours a week.
No.
Really?
Well, there are a lot of people, I'm surprised, as soon as a new pack of new levels come out for the Angry Birds game, they have to, they cannot rest until they've completed every level on 3 stars. They're quite normal people, you know.
Quite normal people.
in other ways, very normal, you know.
Well, that's what's been nice about this, because all the sites under the Steel Media banner, Pocket Game has done theirs, and 148 apps over in America, they've sort of put out their top fives.
Is that quite different, or is that kind of similar?
I haven't got that list on me, but you should go and check it out, because we've actually got a page that does all of them. If you go onto Best App Ever Facebook, you can actually find, just type in Best App Ever, you can find all of it, because we're all under the same banner. So you get Pocket Gamer's top fives, you get AppSpy's top fives, I've done a video for it all. You've got 148 apps as well, and different members from each team's talking about their top fives and the site's top fives. And the idea is everyone immediately wades in with top fives going, oh, what's this doing? I wouldn't have that there. I'd have this. And that's kind of the idea. It's a bit of a discussion. So we've had so many responses from people coming in going, well, this is my top five, and we want to hear your top fives. That's the idea of all this. It's been 5 years. And the beautiful thing is we all have different experiences with this iOS platform. So tell us your top fives. Go over to either the Best App Ever, leave comments, or comments on the articles or the videos. There are so many places you can. But we are curious to see what the kind of cross-section is, because there have been some seriously diverse responses. Xenonia 2. Yeah. So get involved, because it's going to be another 5 years before we have a landmark like this, if it's still around and we're not all, you know, have iPhones embedded in our foreheads. Speaking of the future, we were talking about Plants vs. Zombies just a little bit earlier, and the sequel was on its way. It was supposed to be out on the 16th of July. Over here, internationally, 16th or 18th. But then that got pushed back. What they've done instead is they've just soft launched it in New Zealand.
Oh.
So it's now out, if you happen to be...
Oh, it's only out in New Zealand then. Okay.
Yes, it's only out there at the moment. They're doing the soft launch, which I imagine is to mess about with the in-app purchases.
That thing, the way you say mess around, where actually they mean a very technical process.
yeah.
looking at analytical numbers and comparing them.
There are numbers involved.
No, I'm just going to mess around, really.
Spreadsheets and... Yeah, but that's what
it is. What should we do? Oh, it's just, should we release it in New Zealand and mess around? Yeah, let's do that.
Well, it is. They're the guinea pigs. Them in Canada, they end up being the guinea pigs. So they get ripped off for 2 weeks with the most ludicrously overpriced in-app purchases.
Well...
And then people complain, and then they tone them down a bit. Or equally, they hike the prices because they realize they can gouge you more.
But they live in really nice countries, so that's kind of it's like a bonus for them, and they have like free healthcare. So
I think that's why they choose New Zealand and Canada. Quality of life is high, so just like gouge them for IAPs.
We have free healthcare. What are you talking about?
Do we?
What? What country have you been living?
We have free. You've been going to some very dodgy doctors.
I was gonna say, they saw you coming. You've been buying things off eBay for the cover, and you get chopped when you go to the doctors. Other than that,
listen. All right,
call one tooth for a fiver, a whole set for a tenner.
I became a games journal. Of course, I'm not good with money, like
or life. Yeah. Nightmare. So you can, if you have a New Zealand account, download that right now. Yes, that is a thing you can do. You don't have to live in New Zealand. You can set up an account and set your localization to New Zealand. We have a guide for doing that on the site, which Mark Brown has done, and he's done a kind of little walkthrough about his experience with it so far. Lots of new ideas, apparently, which is the good thing. Apparently, there's a sun god zombie who can steal sunlight. There's a zombie archaeologist who's got a flaming torch. There's also a boomerang plant that can slice through like more than one foe. It goes chunk through a couple of people. If you're not familiar with the full title, it's called Plants vs. Zombie 2, It's About Time, because there's a whole time travel vibe, you see. There's a Wild West area and there's a pirate area. As well as the standard one.
No, I played a bit of it at E3, and I thought it was...
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I thought it was pretty nice done. As you say, while they're messing around, it's hard to exactly judge the whole kind of how much it's going to cost you to do certain things.
Well, what Mark has said is that, you know, unfortunately, you do have to wait and to see how it's balanced, because if it starts getting really tough too quickly and it looks like they're pushing you towards in-app purchases, that's the kind of thing that can spoil your fun. But that might not happen. You don't know. It's all, as with all the IAP stuff, it's a question of how they balance it. So we're going to have to wait and see what changes PopCap make to the game, and then we'll get the full launch over here in between 2 weeks and a month is usually the time, isn't it?
Normally it'd be about a month, but Is it the drowning has been in soft launch for about 2.5 months now.
That still hasn't come out.
No. That one's actually live in a lot of Nordic ones. It's live in Sweden, Denmark, Norway, I think.
Right.
But it's just you can just see from the download figures they're really playing around with like driving stuff and then getting users in and trying to work out how to monetize. They've obviously come up with this completely new control system for first person shooters, and the first update was add twin stick virtual twin sticks. Because obviously a whole bunch of people just said, even though you designers say your game's designed for this new system, I just want the old system back again. So
the old rubbish virtual sticks, please.
The default system, when you load up the game, as far as I understand, is still the innovative one they want. So they want to push people that way. But if you really want to play in some horrible virtual stick way, that you can do that as well.
Horrible. All right, well, very quickly, before we go into the out and about section, I'll do you a little bit of 3DS news real quick. Scribblenauts Unmasked is going to be released in the UK and North America in September. The reason it's called Unmasked is because it's going to feature over 2,000 characters from the DC universe.
Yes, that it is going to include, apparently, every character, no matter how minor, from the DC universe. Yeah, that is what they're going for. So, like,
someone's done their serious research.
Yeah, like, so it's like a character that in the 70s Superman was chatting to at some point in, like, a very small thread, like a fellow journalist or something like that, they'll be in it.
Fantastic.
I
guess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess they're trying to
do something there.
Well, they're trying to do something new with the Scribblenauts thing. I mean, the game was always more of a gimmick than a game to me. Like, the concept is great, and the first time you pick it up, you spend like sort of 30 minutes an hour of just like summoning Cthulhu to scare people and just doing random stuff, and you're like, hey, this is fun. And then swiftly, I found the novelty wore off a bit. And I guess they're finding a new way to jazz it up, and by just bunging loads of superheroes we'll bung loads of DC characters in. And I guess the 17th time you summon Superman, maybe that's going to get a bit...
Presumably, because the whole point of it is not just you type a name in and the object exists, but that the object has vaguely realistic qualities. So
they have a purpose, yeah.
They're presumably not just... They're going to have to... You know, that whole thing about when you can get the superheroes to fight each other and use their skill. I mean, there must be more than just having the representation of the superheroes in there. So,
I guess for me, like, them adding more and more and more content is great, but really what I'd like them to do is add fun things to do with that content once I've brought it onto the screen.
Like, yeah, that was always the issue. It's like get matey from one side to the other or something like that.
And it's just, who cares?
That was a bit weak. Either way, we'll not be down on it. It could be marvellous.
Yes.
And it's going to be turning up in September the 24th in the US and September the 27th in the UK. So that'll be on a 3DS, also coming to Wii U and PC in there. So if you like Scribblenauts, more for you. The other thing I wanted to talk about that's 3DS related is you can take a Pokemon Adventure Tour in the UK this summer.
Yes.
So all you Poke Trainer people, and it's obviously exactly those guys. It's obviously designed to celebrate the release of Pokemon X and Y, which is supposed to be coming out in October. So before that even happens, starting on July the 13th, you can turn up at these events and they'll be split into three gaming-focused zones for fans to experience. So one, you have the Pokemon Battle Zone, which is where Pokemon Black and White 2 players come together and they can trade Pokemons and they can battle and all that. You'll have another zone, the Pokemon Game Zone, which will have a bunch of playable Pokemon titles for people to try. So you have like Mystery Dungeon, Gates to Infinity, Pokemon Conquest, Pokemon Dream Radar, that sort of thing. And then finally, you have the Pokemon Fun Zone.
Yes.
Which, yeah. so I was going to make something about poking your mon, but I'm not going to make that joke.
No. It's children present.
Yeah, well, it kind of is as well, because you get face paints. You can go and get your face painted like Charmin or whatever. And
Charmin is a brand of loo roll.
No, it's not. It's
not a fire Pokemon.
What is a fire Pokemon then?
Charmander.
Oh, what? It's the same.
One of them is an extremely absorbent tissue.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Charmander is extremely absorbent himself. Anyway, you can get paid as Charmander, Rin, or whatever, and get your photo taken with Pikachu, and you can also go to the Pokemon Lounge and watch episodes from the TV show as well. Like, oh my god. So yeah, if you've got a 3DS or a Game Boy Advance or a Game Boy SP or any of the other things that have Pokemon on them, it's in Guildford on July 13th to 14th. It's in Gateshead on August 2nd and 4th. Bristol Balloon Festival on August 8th to 11th.
Bristol Balloon Festival's lovely. It's the most famous balloon festival in the world.
Oh, there you go. We have a bit of one in Bournemouth as well in the summer. They have a balloon festival. Yeah, yeah. In fact, it's the last one on the date. You've got Clacton Air Show before that, August 22nd and 23rd. And finally, it's the Bournemouth Air Festival. So August 29th to September the 1st. If any of those dates mean anything to you and you're nearby and you like a bit of poker fun, then your luck is in. Lucky people.
Can't wait. I'm totally getting my face painted as
get your face painted as Charmin. And come around and we'll see how absorbing you are.
Oh my god, I can't wait. Where's my diary?
Okay, out and about this week, we have the second release from Rovio Stars, little publishing wing. First of which was that Icebreaker, A Viking Voyage, which was quite good. We liked that. Second release, and we've had our eye on this for a little while, is Tiny Thief, which has been produced by Five Ants. It is a sort of stripped down point and click adventure. So it's very cutely drawn. You're a little like vagabondish type person. And it's in a what looks like a sort of 14th century environment. It's all very old, ye olde castles and that. It's side-scrolling 2D, and you are a burglar person who must go around solving logic puzzles, sneaking by guards and patrols, hiding in barrels and boxes, and generally being a bit sneaky and a bit exploratory. I think the review just went up and got a silver, if I'm right. Apparently really cute, really, really good fun. I'm totally playing this because I like this stealth stuff. I always sort of lean towards a little bit because it's a break from constantly shooting aliens in the face. So we've had two releases from that Rovio Stars publishing bit so far, and they've both been pretty strong.
Although, to be honest, they're not going to release... Bad.
No, you wouldn't think they'd release crap, would they? So that's fair enough. You can get that for £1.99 or $2.99. Arguably the biggest release, or certainly the most high-profile one, is Deus Ex The Fall. That came out on Wednesday, I think. Came out a day earlier. It's by Enfusion and a bunch of other people. They worked with Eidos Montreal, the guys who did the original console version, Human Revolution. And this is very much an offshoot from that game. So it's all done in that black and yellowish, black and orange kind of visual style. And follows a dude called Ben Saxon, I think his name is. I've been playing it this week. I'll talk about it a bit more later. On his hunt to try and get some of the new promazine prim of the thing that the augmented people run on. They need it to survive. And there's a shortage of that, and he has to go and get it for various slightly convoluted reasons. It's a first-person shooter with all the stealth elements in as well. And does pretty well, actually, for what it is. I say I'll talk about it later. It's not cheap. It's £4.99 or $6.99. And the first part of what they say is going to be a series of episodes. Have any of you played the Sprinkle games?
Yeah.
I desperately want to now that I've seen it in motion.
No, very nice.
I haven't. I know there was an original one. I think it was just called Sprinkle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They've now got Sprinkle Island out. It's £1.49 or $1.99. What it is a physics puzzler in which you have to put out fires by adjusting. You've got like a little fire engine on the side of your screen, and you have to adjust the trajectory of the water in order to try and put out all of the fires that are on screen, which means guiding the water into the right places and messing about with some of the environmental objects as well. I have seen videos. It does look kind of fun, actually.
Another one called Sprinkle Kids, I think. So this is like the third in the series.
What, where you hose down children? That sounds dodgy.
Oh,
one track mind.
That's why they had to go back to islands after kids, because that one didn't sell as well. Or it did sell, but to the wrong people. either way, that's $1.49 or $1.99, and I'm sure has nothing insidious about it whatsoever. Big old movie release tie-in, Pacific Rim.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is it? Like, I keep seeing it advertised. I have no idea what Pacific Rim
the movie
is.
All right, prepare to be schooled. Guillermo del Toro, it's his newest movie. He's gone and done what is essentially Gundam versus Godzilla.
Okay, all right, yeah, in. I'm in.
Yeah, precisely, I know. Apparently, it's one of... I've seen the reviews. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to try and see it this weekend. It is probably the dumbest Guillermo del Toro movie ever, which doesn't surprise me given the subject matter. He only wrote a bit of it. It's very much someone else's story, but it's his visual style. So the monsters are very much influenced by your old Godzilla, Mothra, and Cthulhu. They look really Cthulhu, which is what gets me excited because I love my H.P. Lovecraft. And then on the other side, you've got, and they come out from under the sea, just like in Cthulhu, you know, like the old ones who sleep beneath the earth. Mm-hmm. So they come stomping out of the ocean. And so the only way mankind can fight back is to get into massive, bloody great mech suits.
Yes.
And then fight for 2 hours. I'm totally down for
that. I'm totally into that.
It totally sounds like the most boring movie ever to me.
Now you see, you're just wrong. Well, no, actually, no, I haven't seen it, but it's to me, that sounds 20 times more interesting than Transformers, you know?
Oh, no, Transformers wasn't interesting.
No, exactly. Transformers is... No, the Transformers movies are horrible. But
what movies are you two watching? Like really clever, highbrow, I watched popcorn in the cinema kind of movies.
The last movie I saw was Despicable Me 2. That was quite funny. It wasn't as funny as the first one, granted, but that was some good belly laughs in that one.
I could never be bothered. I've heard the second one's good. I could never be bothered with those movies.
Well, what about you, James? I bet they're all like black and white and everyone's smoking and depressed and they're all from Europe.
No, my tastes run the full gamut, thank you very much. I will run all the way through from the extremely low-budget, nasty, groovy horror movies.
That's what we need to know.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell us. He's not going to tell us. It's some awful one he's lost.
Yeah. Hang on, what's the last... The last movie I saw, actually, was Upstream Colour by Shane Carrick. The guy who directed Primer, which is a film everybody should
stop
watch.
Digging.
Because it's,
stop digging.
Because it's a one of the best sci-fi movies I've ever seen, and it was made for $7,000, and he wrote it,
he's
starred in it.
He's out-indying the indie crowd here. The last film I saw was made for half a cad.
Yeah, but before that, I saw Man of Steel. So like I say, I run the full gamut.
Who made you go and see Man of Steel?
Me.
You had to go with a friend, didn't you?
I have to see all the films. That's the thing. I go and see them. I knew it was going to annoy me, and God did it annoy me, but I have to see all the films.
See all the films?
Yes,
well, literally,
pretty much.
Literally all the films that show in Bournemouth, you have to see them?
Yes.
There's only two.
Oi! No, that's not true. No, I genuinely, if I don't see it in the cinema, I'll see it when it comes out. If I wasn't writing about games, I'd be writing about films. I'm a cineast guy. So, but no, the full thing, low budget, groovy, silly horror, right up to, you know, your mad, culty, sci-fi weirdness. It's all good. If it's good, it's good, I say. And Pacific Rim, the movie, looks like dumb fun. With a Guillermo del Toro style. About the actual game, it's an Infinity Blade clone.
It looks awful. It looks absolutely diabolical.
Apparently it is, as Mark has said, boring, shallow, unsophisticated nonsense, and basically doesn't stand up in any way to it.
And costs $5. Apart from that, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, it's a movie tie-in, and therefore dread.
It's what I understand about these movie games is they've spent billions and billions of dollars making this thing. The game, clearly, they've spent about half a cabbage and a lettuce doing it. They could put a tiny amount of the budget of the film into the game, put it out for free, and if it's half decent, even if it's not half decent, people are going to be downloading it and playing it, even if it's rubbish.
Do you think that there's some issue of the company that owns all of the rights to it sort of goes to a third party? Because a lot of this stuff is work for hire. And then the work for hire people go, well, with that budget that you're going to give us, you're going to get this kind of game out of it.
It's probably the other way around. It's probably someone comes to them and go, we'll give you $500,000 to get the license, and which is why the game has to cost a lot of money, because someone's paid a lot of money to the film production company for the license to do it. And then they actually make it back, and then they haven't got enough time to do it, so they just have to get it out the door quickly. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's the whole thing why video game tie-ins to films are awful. They never have enough time, and they've paid too much money for the license.
Man of Steel was clunky Infinity Blade clone as well.
At least that was with the kind of developer people had heard of, and it was, you know, they had an engine to do it on. So it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't. This one looks proper stinky awful.
And apparently it is. But if you do like a bit stinky awful, £2.99 or $4.99. Now that leads us up to the last one, which I'll talk about, which is, you know, up there with Deus Ex in its importance. The Walking Dead 400 Days came out. We talked about it last week because we weren't sure about the release date. It was all very hazy and we thought it had come out and then it didn't come out and all that. So to confirm, it's out now on iOS. September or something for the Vita release. Maybe it's going to be coming out a little bit later. But it's out right now, and we reviewed it, and we gave it silver and said it's really good. It's five short little stories all contained in one. Basically, what it serves to do is remind you why you like the original game in the first place and kind of whet your appetite for the next season that's coming. So you can get that for £2.99 or $4.99. It sounds like if you like the other ones, it's a complete no-brainer, and it's just really good. I've got that downloaded, and I'm going to be playing it this evening.
Was no-brainer a pun?
No, but now you say it, yes. My subconscious makes far funnier jokes than I actually do, apparently. Very quickly, before we go, that was all iOS stuff, obviously. There's not much to do with the 3DS this week, regrettably, but there is some Vita Store stuff that's happening. The only full-price release we've got at the moment is a game called History Legends of War Pattern, which,
General Pattern,
as you might imagine...
With an O.
Yes,
Pattern with an O, yes. As in World War II turn-based strategy game. With RPG.
Yeah, I am, funnily enough... desperate to get hold of a code for this.
Really?
Yeah, I really am. Because I'm really, really interested to see what they did with it and whether or not they made any changes from the fairly tepidly received PlayStation 3 version. My money is on it's probably not. I was like searching around because for the life of me, I couldn't figure out who the hell was publishing it. And there seems to be like a really, really loyal following for the PS3 release. Like, some people like absolutely swear by it, and then like most people just kind of wrote it off. So I'm really interested to see what they did with this Vita version. And also, you can get Lego Legends of Chima: Laval's Journey now on PSN. Actually,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
that's on there as well. That's the other sort of game.
Well, if you want to try this, see if they've done any better with the PS Vita release, History Legends War Pattern will be £24.99. You can also get it for $23. In the US, which seems like a bit of a stitch for UK customers now I read it. Yep. But we do often get stitched in those stakes, unfortunately. What else have we got? There is the Lego thing. Oh, yeah, the PlayStation Plus is quite fun because you can get a Silent Hill Book of Memories, which has been reduced to $7.50, which from what I hear is pants.
Absolute pants.
I am Silent Hill guy, and so some kind of multiplayer top-down fighter thing is like, gets...
Action brawler.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Well nonsense. Done. Well
but you done. Can get Lego Batman 2 DC Superheroes, which is kind of fun, for just $5. Yes. So that's cool. So if you're up for that, by all means. PlayStation Mobile. Now we're digging down the rabbit hole, aren't we?
It's got the best release. It's got the best release.
I know, hasn't it just? They've got a mobile version of Tokyo Jungle.
Bizarre.
Which is that game in which you have animals fighting each other in some post-apocalyptic wasteland or something. It's like that bit at the beginning of I Am Legend, where all the streets are overgrown and you see like a deer or something wandering around. If the deer then leapt upon a badger and they start having a teeth and nails duel to the death. It was a PSN release again, was it?
It was a PSN release in the West. It was a physical release in Japan.
Oh, okay. All right then. Yeah, so you got to hunt, you got to eat, and you got to get them to nail each other, apparently.
Pardon?
And I'm not talking about DIY. So that costs you £2.39 on your mobile. There's also a bunch of stuff where if you're not on PS Plus, you can get Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty HD and Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater for $15 rather than $20. So that if you're a Vita owner, you can get them that bit. Yeah, bargain, that's quite good. Or you get the whole pack, the Solid Collection, for $29.99 instead of $35. And if you're a Shin Megami Tensei Persona 2 Innocent Sin fan, you can get that for $20.
That's all right as well, actually. I reviewed that. Really good.
Yeah, I thought that was one. That was your category. So there you go.
Yes.
So there's your Vita news for both of you listeners who have a Vita. Yeah. Go for it. Yeah, you go crazy.
Keith doesn't switch his on. He's got one.
No, he's got both the Vitas in the UK, and he doesn't play either of them. It's a complete joke. No wonder it's doing badly. Well then, I think it's time that we close the door on this out and about section, and then I invite you all to
come sit upon my throne of games.
Good morrow, sirs. Thank you once again for attending the chamber wherein lies the throne of games. Who is first to sit upon the throne this week?
My legs hurt. Can I sit down?
All right then. Okay, yes, prithee, sir, take a seat upon the throne of games and tell us what you have been playing.
Well, this is a kind of interesting one because I was at the Develop conference early this week, which happened in Brighton in the UK, and I was gave a very I think, confusing talk about
you were speeching, weren't you?
About,
yes.
About monetization and building a data-driven process for monetization efficiency. So over the weekend...
I thought you said this was interesting.
Yes, yes.
Sorry,
so over the weekend, I played 40 free-to-play games. I played the first 5 minutes of 40 free-to-play games so I could work out record some kind of a... some inputs into my big kind of a sausage machine of data finding. So that's actually very interesting because I chose them fairly randomly, but some that were kind of well-known kind of brands. But obviously I wasn't playing them for fun. I was playing them for pure work purposes. But actually, some of them actually proved to be quite fun. So I'm now continuing to play them. And this is perhaps a bit embarrassing because some of these games obviously have been out for a long time and were very famous and I should have played before. But I think it's quite interesting to still to kind of highlight them. So very quickly, so there was Rad Soldiers, which was really quite impressed with that. Respawnables, which has just come out for Android actually this week.
Oh, I know that one, yes.
Which is a twin stick shooter. We've just reviewed it and given it a 8, I think. And perhaps most interesting for me, because there weren't games I thought would appeal to me very much, was Heyday, which is absolutely amazing. Even if you don't like farming games, you should certainly play the first 10 minutes because it is really beautifully done. And and equally, if a bit more kind of grabbing in terms of, or attempting to grab in terms of money, is The Simpsons Tapped Out, which is
really
the odd thing about The Simpsons Tapped Out is when I installed it, the first prompt I got was a request to download 300 megabytes of additional data, which didn't please me that much. And then the other weird thing is when you start playing it, you get a little cutscene which you can't skip, but thankfully the cutscene is hilariously funny. So and only lasts about 20 seconds. So and actually, yeah, so I was playing Heyday for a long time. I don't think I'll be playing Simpsons for a long time, I would. The Simpsons is kind of interesting. Anyway, so those were kind of games I played very briefly. So what I'm actually reviewing at the moment is called Frozen Front, which is going about Mr. Patton, General Patton. This is a hex based, not hardcore war strategy, but it's based in 1941 Eastern Front tank, German tanks versus Russian tanks, effectively. One interesting thing about it was, this was one of the ones that I was actually analysing as well. It was the only one of the 40 games I played that had banner ads in it.
Advertising over the top of
But what was really funny about it was they are so absolutely awful, I had to pay to get rid of them because it was just this game is never going to get a good score, even if it's good, because I'm just looking at this banner ad. And is a banner ad a reason for me to give it a bad score? So that was kind of interesting. But it's not really super hardcore. I mean, I'm not a hardcore military strat guy anyway. So I've been playing a bit of it, and it seems to pitch itself quite well. So maybe more of that next week.
Okay.
And then another interesting one, because I think we just wrote some news today about Worms 3.
Oh yeah, yeah, they just announced it.
So there's a game I think came out last week actually called Blastron from Kabam Studios, which is what could we say? It's heavily inspired by Worms. I think that's probably what our lawyers would suggest we say. Heavily inspired by Worms.
Very wise.
It's kind of like a turn-based 2D shooter but you're not a worm because you obviously would get sued for that. You are a robot.
Okay.
And that's
just totally different from a worm.
Yeah, of course. Because you can't with worms. You couldn't upgrade their heads and their arms, and they haven't got arms, obviously. So it's free to play. So obviously you go through that whole thing where you update weapons and stuff like that.
Busy week for you then.
Busy week indeed.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that with me, sir. You hop off. I'm going to jump on very quickly and say that I've been playing Deus Ex The Fall. I've been playing it for, I guess, about an hour and a bit, so I'm not all the way through. I know it's not that long. I've heard that I'm probably not that far from the end.
Oh, really?
But,
after an hour?
I don't think it's like an hour and a half long, but it's not that long. You finish and apparently you go, oh, really? Was that it?
But did you not say it had like episodes in it or something?
Yeah, that's the thing. They're setting up as an episode and it's the first one. But it's not cheap. It's like £5 or something. Mm. So I'm hoping it's got some substance to it. Initial impressions. It's probably one of the better first-person shooters I've played.
Hmm.
And I'm very, I have nothing but bad things to say about them, generally speaking, those type of virtual stick controls. They do it pretty well here. I've got to be honest. I'm not as offended by these controls as I usually am. Hmm. They're pretty responsive. They have the sensitivity turned up quite high, so you don't have that problem where you're constantly kind of having to sweeping across with your thumb and then picking it up again and sweeping it back and, doing that thing where you turn around like a 21-point turn. So it works pretty well. Very, very good looking. Well, you can't match the kind of lighting that you can get in maybe some console releases. It's very richly detailed.
Does it still have does it have the home console color scheme?
Yes, yes. So it's all gold and black and that. It very much looks exactly the same thing. And say the level of detail really very, very high. There's an awful lot of gumph at the beginning to do with the plot. There's a hell of a lot of exposition that goes on where they sit down and talk to each other and go blah, blah, blah. And it's play your character, this Ben Saxon fellow, is kind of played as a kind of hard man, a British hard man.
Like a Danny Dyer.
Yes. Well, yes. With the same level of acting ability as Danny Dyer, coincidentally. That's a bit... But the world itself feels very well conceived, basically because they're importing the same world as the console version. So it looks the part. It controls pretty well. You've still got that choice between do you go around shooting everyone in the face or do you stealth it up? Obviously, if you're a proper gamer, you stealth it up because, going around shooting people in the face is way too easy. If I'm going to criticize, there are way too many on-screen buttons. So in order to do everything, if you want to go up against the wall, you have to tap a button. If you want to, access all your menus, tap a button. If you want to go, once you're up against the wall, if you want to flip around to one side, that's a different button that appears. And if you want to stay on the wall and just hop to a different piece of cover, that's a different button. So all these kind of context-based buttons keep appearing on screen. And that's a bit messy. It's one of those things where you realize that we're trying to transplant a console experience onto a touchscreen, and this is the best way we can do it, which is fine, and it's not awful. It works, but it's just, all these different soft keys keep appearing, these different buttons all over the screen. You're like, ugh. Especially when I've just come off playing something like Limbo, which has literally no heads-up display at all, and it's all very clean and neat and beautifully done. So it does seem like a bit of a mess. When you see all them buttons. That said, they do generally work. I encountered a couple little buggy issues, and I know some of the guys from the team did. It crashed a couple of times.
Okay.
Bit unstable. But that said, I'm interested, and I'm going to complete it. Like, the stealthy stuff is still quite fun. Some of the enemies are a bit dumb. They feel a bit like, I don't think they've got the same level of AI as perhaps the console versions do. But I could see that if you are a Deus Ex guy, there's sort of at least enough here to get you interested.
Did anybody else find it ironic that it didn't come to Android first?
No. But now you say it, yes. I suppose so.
Or... That was a video game-based joke.
Well, yes, and very fitting for our video game-based podcast. This is why we get you back every time.
Thanks.
Thank you for that. So, yeah, it's okay. I'm gonna finish it up. It's probably a, sound 7 or something at this point. But very, very... good looking. I just want to see if there's enough content to justify you dropping a fiver on it and expecting more chapters. Mm. We shall see. But yeah, it's all right. Not too bad. Not too bad. So let me clear the way, and that leaves Peter. Peter, take a seat on the game.
Thank you. I've been playing on my 3DS as I do pretty much every week.
Hey, we're going to talk about a 3DS game.
Yay! And it's not Animal Crossing this time around.
Oh, really?
No, I might talk about that next week because I love it. I keep playing it. I've been playing Mario and Luigi Dream Team Brothers, and since this is going out on Friday, I can tell you that I absolutely love it.
Really?
Yeah, really love it.
Another Mario game, really?
Yeah. So it's another Mario game, but it's not a platformer. Oh, no. It is a what I sort of describe as like JRPG light. It's you wander
can
about.
Can you actually do that? Is that like some sort of tautological thing? A JRP light? Isn't that the whole point? It's like, beer or something.
Well, I agree with you. Like there is kind of that sentiment of you either at the moment there is this focus on you either go hardcore with it. Mm. Or you go hardcore with it. You can either do sort of stat-based stuff or action-based stuff. You have your Demon Souls and you have your your Final Fantasies and that sort of thing. This is kind of like my first JRPG, but don't take that to be a negative. It strips away most of the numbers. It makes the combat much more based on timing. So, for example, you will press the action button to start an attack, but if you press the button at exactly the right time, just as you hit the enemy, you'll get a second attack as well. And you can also dodge and also counterattack the moves that enemies throw at you as well by utilizing certain button combinations. So it means that every single battle, instead of that sort of lean back, I don't really give a monkeys JRPG stance of doing battles for like the first 10 hours. It is lean forward all of the time, and you've got to be paying attention. You've got to be learning the tells of your enemies. On top of that, the writing's really good. I don't think it's as writing-wise, I don't think it's as funny and as sophisticated as a lot of people make the series out to be. Maybe this is just this entry in the series, but it is very, very good, and it's very well translated. It puts Mario and Luigi in some really interesting situations. It's all to do with dreams and going into Luigi's head, which is quite fun. Okay. It's fun to see what Luigi thinks of himself.
Does he have a massive inferiority complex because it's Mario and Luigi, not Luigi and Mario?
Yeah, basically. And he's also, like, he sees himself as quite strong and tough and clever and smart. And oh, it's brilliant. So there's that. And, you know, it's a really big adventure. It's just a really top adventure. And
who do you get in your group? Do you get to recruit all your, like, Princess and Toadstool and all their mates? Or is it just Mario and Luigi the whole
way? Yeah, it's Mario and Luigi. I mean, you wander about different areas. Well, I suppose there are more characters, but one of them is Dreamy Luigi. So it's like there's Luigi on the bottom screen who's dreaming, and then there's Luigi on the top screen, and it's like a manifestation of him.
Gotcha.
So so it's a JRPG for people who don't like JRPGs, and it reduces all of the fundamentals of JRPGs down to their bare minimum, which are still fun, but just gets rid of all of that ridiculous fluff. It gets rid of all of that and then builds on top of it, sort of renovates the whole thing, and it just makes for a very accessible JRPG.
So you're saying that, like, Luigi doesn't fall in love with a girl with spiky hair who looks about 15?
Sadly not.
Oh.
You know, I am yearning to go back and play some more Final Fantasies because I've barely played them. I really want to play FF8.
Final Fantasy VII out on the PC now.
Re-released on Steam. Yeah, it was on Square Enix's digital store for a while, but
so you can pay for it again after the five times you've already paid for it to get it on the PSN
I'm going to buy it again. I might buy Final Fantasy VII again on PSP to give me an excuse to come back on the podcast and talk about it.
I've got it on PSN. I totally haven't played it.
Yeah, but yes, if you have a 3DS, I thoroughly recommend it. It is very, very good.
Right on. There's been a lot of good stuff for 3DS.
It's a really good console.
It is a really good console. Yeah,
there's some really good stuff on there.
Partly agree. You listening, Vita? Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with me, Peter, and thank you, listeners, for staying with us during this podcast. You can go over to the site and check everything out. In fact, if you go over to pocketgamer.co.uk/podcast, it will take you straight to the page in which we describe everything we've had in this episode. So whatever we've talked about, there'll be links on that page where you can click through and see all the stories and all the extra information about what we've been talking about. That will stay true for all future podcasts. So just pocketgamer.co.uk/podcast, and it will give you links to everything we've discussed. Nice and easy. We'll be talking about a lot more things next week, as always. We'll probably get Keith back as well, because I don't know what he's doing. What is he doing? Is he sunning himself somewhere?
Monday, Tuesday. Well, no, it was, sorry, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But I came back today. I would reckon he's probably just coming into Victoria Station now.
It sounds like you've got a tracker on him, John.
Well, no, I just did exactly the same journey yesterday, and this time yesterday I was probably just about to pull into Victoria Station.
Oh, I like the idea that he's like a little homing pigeon or something.
Yeah.
He always winds up coming back to the offices with his and then cooped up again for the next flight. Porky, don't clip his wings. Let him fly free. So he'll be coming back and joining us probably as well. So you guys come back too. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.